Welcome one and all to Umami Manga. I'm Petter and this is James.
Hello!
And today we're talking about volume number 8 of Kaiju number 8. Finally, I could say that. I've been waiting so long. But no, this was a lovely, lovely volume, I think.
You know, a lot of action, but some good character moments as well.
Yeah.
And then a really neat teaser at the end of it.
Very. Oh, yes. I definitely am excited to talk about that. But I guess we'll move right into the character discussions. Starting this time with Kafka Hibino. I liked how he, in his moment of doubt about not being able to, or about not being needed, like feeling that he's not needed and feeling like he's not special for his own earned abilities,
mm-hmm.
how in the moment he ultimately realized that what makes him special and what makes him strong is the fact that he continues to grow stronger and that he continues to transform into Kaiju number 8 despite the great risks that come with it, and that not just anyone would be able to do that the way that he is able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked that comfort, I guess, that he found, or at least, yeah, kind of something that helped him feel like he is special and he has earned this.
Yeah, I mean, to get to where he is, it did take and tremendous amount of effort at his age. Although I pause to say at his age because I don't want to feel like an old man yet either. But
it is fair that the older you get, the harder it is to, for example, build muscle and stuff like that.
Yeah, so I really like how, like you said, he kind of finds his own way that makes him special. But also that he wants to keep improving himself. I mean, how many people could just, you know, lie on their laurels and say, I got this Kaiju number 8 power. It's no biggie. Yeah, sure. You know, I'm in danger of using it, but you know, I can whip it out at any time. But in this few chapters that we had him in this volume, he kind of wants to train himself even more and get better. And I think with help from Hoshina, he really can improve his innate abilities that could potentially help him when he is transformed into Kaiju number 8. Because he's not going to stop transforming into it. He has to transform into the Kaiju. But I think the abilities that he learns, you know, just with training with Hoshina, I think that can carry on into, you know, at least the technique and whatnot can carry on into his Kaiju number 8 fighting. And I think that would be a big improvement.
Absolutely. Yeah, precisely. It's going to be useful both in human form and in Kaiju form. This squadron-style combat technique that Soshiro started showing and that Isao Shinomiya also had mastered.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm very excited to see Kafka eventually master that as well. Because it definitely seems like that's where it's headed.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love the mentorship that he has with Hoshina. You know, Hoshina really just kind of being the mentor for him.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, like, who else could there be? But I mean, it's kind of been that way for a while, but I think even now, even more so, it's shown that he is taking on that mentor role.
Absolutely. And I think it's even, like, it's something that makes it pretty funny, in my opinion, is that the guy who is becoming Kafka's mentor is the same guy that Kafka kind of wants to usurp, you know, within the positions and whatnot. Like, that's the guy's seat that he wants, but he's also the guy who's training him. it's kind of funny. But yeah, they go to train at that shrine, and Soshiro tells him about the history of the shrine and the history about Kaiju fighting kind of in general a little bit. And I loved this, I guess, painting that we got to see of the historical event when the warriors were fighting the Kaiju in the past.
Like, yeah.
It definitely, I mean, it's kind of from afar and like we don't see it super in great detail, but I love how Matsumoto made it in like the style of like old traditional Japanese painting kind of.
Right.
And I would have loved to see like a bigger, more detailed kind of, probably like a colored version of that. I would have loved to see something like that. Maybe the anime will give us that, but that probably wouldn't be until like a potential season two, potentially. Though, but yeah, regardless, I thought that was something that looked very, very cool.
Yeah, and not just cool, it kind of puts into perspective how long the humans have been fighting these kaiju for. It's not necessarily a recent occurrence. I mean, we're talking centuries, right?
Yeah, like that was in the 1600s at some point that this event that you were talking about happened, and yeah.
Yeah, crazy. It's also crazy how they were able to actually defeat the kaiju. It does make me wonder what was the power level of said kaiju that was depicted in that painting versus the kaiju that we have now. Even, you know, the what is it, the Yonju? Is that the weaker? Because Honju is like the tougher one, right?
Yeah,
I can't
I
remember,
get Honju and Yonju mixed up.
but either way, you know, with the weaker of the modern day be similar to the strongest of the past, or were they all fighting the same level, which would be crazy to think about.
Yeah, right.
But anyway, really cool expansion of kind of the lore there.
Yeah, I love it. And yeah, at the very end, kind of at the shrine there, Kafka sees what appears to be a ghost of one of the dead warriors who died fighting kaiju in the past. And first of all, this is not anything that I had expected from this manga at all, like this type of
No,
supernatural thing,
no.
you know? And I wonder to what extent we're gonna get more of this kind of stuff moving forward. But and like secondly, I guess seeing that made me feel like that warrior could have been an ancestor to Kafka since he was specifically the one who saw him. And I don't know. I'm very curious about what this is about.
That's kind of the same vibe I was getting. Some sort of ancestral thing, or maybe some other connection. I kind of want to save it for predictions because that's really kind of my main prediction
I
is
gotcha.
what the guy could be. But I agree with you 100% that this is not something I expected from this manga, this kind of supernatural appearance. But it's quite welcomed,
Oh, yeah.
because I think it just adds to the mystery and the already established story in an unexpected way, and I do appreciate that.
Right. And like I was thinking about like is this something that's just going to be like a one-time occurrence? I hope not. But like I was thinking about to what extent they're going to lean into this. And if it's just going to be like it's going to symbolize something that's going to become clearer in the next volume perhaps and that'll be it. Or as I hope they will they actually like lean into it a lot more? Moving forward in the story and actually expand on this and explore this whole thing more, which I really, really hope they do because I find this very interesting.
I mean, not to go into too much detail, but I think that this could lead into some sort of flashback or historic look at
Ooh.
how they fought kaiju
Ah.
back in the day.
That would be
But
awesome.
again, I'm getting ahead of myself.
All right, then I guess we'll leave this there for now, and we'll get back to some predictions later in the discussion. Anything else on Kafka?
One little thing. Did you see the art of young him and Mina kind of like in a four, you know, standing at attention or, you know, prepared or what? Did you get that art?
Yeah.
Great. I love that. I think it's
Yeah,
really cute.
it is.
And it just made me, it made me again long for more of their childhood together. Because I know I've said this before, but I don't feel like we've gotten enough of Kafka and Mina together. You know, I
Yeah.
mean, I guess enough is not the right word. Yeah, you get enough to establish that they had some sort of relationship as ch children, you know, friendship. But I feel like there could be more to expand on, like how much they mean to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And really, like, what was their childhood like growing up with these kaiju monsters all over the place?
Right.
I feel like that's some missed potential there. And then you have this art here where it hints at, you know, some sort of club space that they may have had.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I would love to see that expanded on.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't mind that either.
But other than that, no, I don't have much on Kafka. I mean, he only had like a 2 or 3 chapters, really. Maybe it was only 2 chapters.
Still some very interesting stuff though. Very well. Next up, let's talk about Iharu Furuhashi. I really like the focus that we got on him in this volume and how the book started off by showing kind of his jealous feelings kind of toward Rino and also kind of his fear of being left behind or not being able to keep up with Rino and with the others.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, Iharu went out of his way to assist Rino and help him get his job done. And in doing so, both Rino and Iharu himself made amazing achievements and were recognized by the higher-ups at the Defense Force.
Yeah.
Really, both of them, thanks to Iharu's work that he put in there for the both of them. And I like that a lot.
I really think Iharu is going to be a fan favorite just because of, you know, the redemption that he's had ever since his introduction. You know, he's kind of a bit of a jerk, you know, to start off with. But then obviously he warmed up to Reno. They became good friends. And now you're getting to the point where he's seeing his faults, but overcoming those and really, really realizing his true potential, but also encouraging Reno as well. It's great. It's wholesome,
yeah.
Cool, and I absolutely love it, and definitely growing in my own personal favorite character list.
Absolutely. He is taking his time, though. Like, last volume had him on the cover, but in that book, he didn't really have much to do.
True.
It would have been more fitting to have him on this volume cover, I believe.
I agree.
But yeah, at this point, yeah, he's definitely really a really good character, one that I like a lot. And in his backstory that we see a bit in this volume, it seems like he used to be basically a big fish in a small pond before he enlisted with the Defense Force.
Yeah.
Definitely hurt his confidence after he, you know, came in contact with so many other remarkable recruits at the Defense Force, feeling like he wasn't that special anymore all of a sudden. But he apparently does have a unique strength of his own, or a pretty unique strength anyway, being able to have his combat suit's power fluctuate and be, like, far higher than normal in, I guess, the specific moments when it's really needed the most. In this volume, we see it shifting between 22% and 42%, which is a pretty massive shift. And apparently, this is an ability that he shares with Jugo Ogata.
Yeah. Could become a monster if he learned how to use it.
Apparently, yeah.
Yeah, it's quite funny how he's basically really caught up with the fact that, oh, I'm not really that special. I mean, look at all these guys. They're running laps around me. And then you have Reno. He's far surpassing me.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, he has the same kind of potential. And maybe that's only because he has these other people in front of him that are pushing him forward.
Right.
But regardless, yeah, he has very similar, well, I mean, his own kind of potential.
For sure, right. And I think it's also, like, he's not used to being around other people that are really ambitious and great at what they do, perhaps. Since, like, where he comes from, maybe there weren't a lot of people like that, coincidentally, or just by happenstance. So this is probably just something that he's getting used to. Also,
yeah,
by the way, in the kaiju fight, I like by basically what it was at the end when Iharu and Rino were fighting the kaiju together, with Iharu doing the close-up combat to give Rino the opportunity to finish the kaiju off from a distance.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like how we've seen Soshiro and Mina work together before. So I thought it was nice to see basically the same strats used here by these two.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good comparison.
Yeah. Anything else on Iharu?
No, I think that's good.
Cool. Then let's move on to Reno Ichikawa. Looks like he did manage to match with that kaiju suit within the time limit.
Hey.
And we just get to see like the very end of the testing here, but that was
Yeah.
enough, and it was fun to see.
Yeah, I didn't expect to see all of that month-long training.
No.
Probably didn't have to really, but still room to grow.
For sure.
And I think it was an interesting, I guess, concept in that it wasn't the Kaiju number six that was pushing or taking control. It was his own mind and ambition that was running wild. It was causing harm. So I guess there is a bit of that control, self-control that needs to be applied when you're dealing with something like this.
Yeah.
And I guess it's a good lesson in life as well, or being overly ambitious may not be sustainable or healthy.
Right, exactly. I think that is a good wisdom.
But, in the end, in partial or partially thanks to Iharu, he was able to snap back into his senses and take the final shot, as you said. That was pretty sick.
It
I mean,
was.
his ice powers are gonna be awesome to see.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Being able to stick onto certain surfaces with the ice, that's pretty dope.
Yeah. And something that we learn about numbers weapons is, or at least I don't think we knew of it before, is that they have an extreme life shortening effect. Or, like, they take that kind of toll on the body of the user when used over time.
Yeah, I'm not sure if we knew that before. Yeah.
I didn't at least
Wow.
remember hearing about that before now. So I thought it was interesting. It's almost a little bit like Kafka's limitation, how if he like the more he transforms into his kaiju form, the more risk comes with that with him. And in his case, it's obviously like that he may not be able to return back to human form. But the kaiju suits or the numbers weapons or whatever, they also come with great risks in a different type of way, but still.
Interesting concept to bring up.
Right. And it says extreme life shortening toll,
Yeah, that's the part, the extreme.
which I wonder what does that mean? Like,
Yeah. Who said that again? Do you remember?
don't remember off the top of my head now. It may have been Jugo or someone. It was pretty early in the volume, I think.
Okay.
But yeah, just like a lot of other prominent characters in the series, Reno also is showing some signs of, or well, especially to us readers, of not believing in himself and in his abilities and whatnot. Like basically having like low self-esteem, basically. There's a lot of that going around among the characters in the series. This book definitely, and I feel like it's happened before now as well. So yeah, just hope they all are able to improve their mental health moving forward. Well, next up, let's talk about Jugo Ogata. I thought it was sweet to see how in the past he had encouraged Kikaru's mom to match with that weapon number 4.
Yeah.
Of course, he regrets having done that now, seeing as she died while I assume while using that suit or that weapon. But knowing about this, like, and having this background for Jugo, I think we can view the fact that he was so hard on Reno about the suit and like basically showing that he didn't believe in Reno to do it. We can view that as him wanting to protect him and to prevent another fate like Hikari's. So I think that's kind of sweet.
Yeah. I mean, not to turn in this into love drama, but do you think he loved Hikari? Like, had those kind of feelings for her?
I didn't get that vibe, but who knows, I guess.
Yeah. Maybe I was picking up on the wrong vibes, but that came to mind. But you have a picture that he keeps of his former team, I guess. And you also have Isao in the back. I believe that's a young Isao in the back.
I think so too, yeah.
So it's kind of, if there was any sort of feelings that he had for her, you know, it's kind of a sad story, and that didn't work out for him.
If that, yeah.
If that is the case, maybe, obviously maybe. People can be friends, yeah.
So yeah, this was a character that when he was introduced, I didn't understand that he would become this relevant to the story. So I'm glad. Well, I'm glad where it is right now, and I'm enjoying him for sure.
Agreed. I'm excited to see how he trains them, and I guess more so excited to see in what way he mentors Iharu specifically. You know, because they have the similar power. So what does that look like when you fully utilize that?
Exactly. But let's move on to Kikoru Shinomiya. It was stated that Kikoru's mother's cells were compatible with number 4. And so I feel like, well, cells are genetic and whatever. And like, I feel like if her cells were compatible with it, then it wouldn't be a stretch to think that Kikoru's cells may be compatible with it as well.
Yeah, I totally missed that.
And I think, well, yeah, I guess it depends what is, like, or like, where is this suit or weapon now? Was it destroyed or lost when Hikari died? I mean, I guess we don't know for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Or does the Defense Force still have it?
Mm-hmm.
And if they do, I feel like there's a pretty good chance that Kikoru could utilize it.
Yeah, no, I would. That's exactly what I see, because I do think that if Kikoru is going to end up being the same caliber as Narumi, I think that she has to have one of those weapons.
Mm.
And it would just make so much sense if it's the same weapon as her mother. I mean,
yeah.
I thought it would be her father, but her mother.
Right, no, but this would be awesome. Absolutely. But yeah, we didn't get to see too much of Kikoru in this volume. We did get like a thorough update kind of on Reno's progress that he's been making over the past month, but we don't really know where Kikoru is in her progression, because she was also supposed to have like a month's time limit to grow and improve.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't really get a clear showing of that, I guess.
Yeah, no, that's definitely in the background, you know.
Mm-hmm.
How is her training going? I almost expect that we won't see it in detail at all. We'll just go into the next battle, and then she'll be super strong or something like that.
Right, and I would be fine with that. I think I just want to know how much has she improved. Like, where is she right now? Like in her growth, I guess.
Yeah.
I just want an update on that, I guess. And I expect we will see that in the next volume, in on some level.
Yeah. Yeah, particularly if we do move on to some sort of counterattack against number 9, or number 9 decides to attack.
Mm.
I for sure think we'll see Kikoru's improvement.
Yeah.
Though I still think that she's going to need, eventually going to need a weapon. But, you know, maybe she'll be so strong that it doesn't matter, but I find that maybe too hard to believe, because even her dad had a weapon.
Right, both her parents did. Yeah, yeah, only makes sense for her to have one as well.
Right. I'm still going to side with the fact that she eventually will get number 4 as long as they have it somehow.
Absolutely.
Although your theory about her and Reno somehow sharing number 6 would be pretty cool too.
Oh.
I think Reno is the ice master, and
yeah,
I guess Kikoru is just a powerhouse.
Right. I also believe at this point especially, yeah, weapon number 6 is Reno's fully at this point.
Yeah.
it was a fun speculation, I guess, last time. But is there any other character you want to talk about?
That's it.
Cool. Then moving into some predictions and speculations and whatnot. I'm hoping the next volume gives us more about the Ghost Samurai, or whatever we're supposed to refer to this guy as.
I like Ghost Samurai. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Again, unsure of like to what extent the story's gonna lean into that whole aspect, but I'm hoping it does it
Yeah.
quite a lot, and I think it would be awesome if the next volume would do that.
So I think in order for it to make sense with the kaiju storyline, it has to deal with kaiju, right? And that's why I think talking about the history of, the Japanese people taking on the kaiju could be an interesting aspect. Now, how would that relate to the modern day? I think that you tie it in by potentially either tying it into Kafka's lineage, like somehow Kafka has ancestral or ancestors who fought against the kaiju all those years ago, and maybe they're trying to share their secrets in that way. But one that I actually think is a little more exciting and could be very interesting is what if this ghost samurai guy is actually in a very similar situation to Kafka, in that he has the little kaiju guy inside him all those years ago. And so you don't see the actual face of the guy. You just see him in the kind of the samurai armor, the mask and all. And I mean, he does look kind of tall, so I thought, well, what if underneath that armor, he actually has the kaijuification underneath, and so he's been fighting, or he was fighting against the kaiju so long ago, and that actually would explain why they were able to beat some of the kaiju that they were, if they had
True.
that kind of a hero on their side. Now, who's to say if any of that's true? Would it be the same exact abilities? Has it evolved over time? Why is that there in the past, and why is it appearing now? There obviously there's a buttload of questions, but I think that is what makes it so appealing in that it does give more questions that could be answered. And yeah, it could be very fascinating to think that the little kaiju or whoever's controlling things in the background could have been around for a very long time.
True. Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot, and how this would not necessarily like if that is the case, that this like the connection between this guy and Kafka is their ability to turn into kaiju and maybe even the same kaiju in a way, then it wouldn't have to be anything about a shared lineage necessarily. But unless it's both, I guess.
Yeah, I guess it could be. Maybe Kafka's ancestral bloodline is just perfect for becoming the kaiju, like for the little kaiju to adapt to. I don't
Yeah, I
know.
mean, yeah, I kind of had a similar thought there, but so yeah, I guess could be something like that. But regardless, some kind of connection, either the lineage or the kaiju thing or both. I think are good predictions. Yeah, this is awesome.
I mean, if it's something different, that's fine. But as we were saying before, if it just is suddenly some supernatural thing, yeah, it's like, what are we doing exactly? I'm still excited to see it, but if it doesn't really play much into the story, then maybe I'd be unsure about it. But right now, it's limitless potential at this point.
Truly, yeah, very, very fun.
One other thing I wanted to mention is that we've gotten a lot about Kikoru, Reno, and Iharu, but what about the other quote unquote prodigies that are from that same group that we hear about and that they do amazing? But we actually haven't seen too much of them in action or really know much about them at all. And it's not like I want to take away focus from the cast of characters we have, but it does seem like we are talking about these characters and how amazing they are, and yet we're not really even focusing on them at all. So
True.
I don't know. It feels like maybe it could be interesting to get more on them.
Yeah.
If they are supposed to be these hot shots.
Absolutely. I wouldn't mind that. The only one I can think about now is the guy who is like the son of the family who creates the combat suits.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's something that we know about that guy, but yeah, it's not to the same level as the other characters.
Wasn't there like a bathhouse Sento scene where they're all like admiring each other's muscles or something like that? I can't.
There was something like that, and also about like they were all like big Mina fanboys, if I recall.
Right. Chilling with the bros, butt naked, talking about our girl crush. All right.
Yep, that's the stuff.
That's the stuff of manhood dreams.
Yeah, no, I'm down for shifting focus to those guys. I mean, it's like, namely those two guys, right? The guy who's from the combat suit power.
Yeah, it's really just
and
those
the guy
two.
With like the longer hair. Or wait, was that the guy? No, I'm not sure. Who was the? It probably was the guy with the long hair was probably the son of that family, right? And then there was the guy who kind of looks like Scar from Fullmetal Alchemist.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of are in this lullish period of preparation, so maybe this would be the time. But
right,
I could see them throwing it in and during middle of combat. But either way, just a thought. I mean, if they don't get focused on, that's fine. It does seem that maybe we're talking about these characters a little too much, but we know nothing about them really.
Yeah, I mean, I do still feel like it's justified because they are at least prominent enough to be discussed, you know?
Yeah, I guess so.
I think so anyway, because I feel like they used to be on a similar importance level or whatever as Iharu, like earlier in the story.
Well, right, but then Iharu got some focus,
right?
And I think Iharu is on this in the same level now as Reno. Maybe not quite as Kikoru, but definitely on the same level as Reno. To me, it seems like these two really didn't matter at all previously. I mean, yeah, they were just kind of there. And then we're here all these chapters later, and they're still being brought up. It's like, okay, why?
Right. The fact that they're still talked about and they still appear, we still see panels with them, like, there's something. Maybe they will never be as big or as prominent as Iharu, for example, but something more, I hope.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah. Just a thought.
Right. And quickly speaking of, I guess, checking in with characters, and as I probably already said, but checking in with Kikuru's growth and see how she's progressed over this month is something I mm-hmm. definitely expect the next volume to give us an update on.
Yeah. I also want an update on Kaiju number 10 and
oh yeah, Oshima,
how that's going.
True.
But I'm pretty confident we won't really see that until battle time.
I suppose. But still, yeah, that's also something I'm definitely excited for.
Very excited.
I also look forward to seeing Ogata talk with Iharu about the ability that they share. And basically, well, because I think that would help Iharu and his confidence a lot. And for Ogata to tell him that he too can become a hero or something like that, you know?
Eat this!
Yeah, precisely. I think it could be a nice moment between the two and especially, yeah, helping Iharu's self-esteem kind of.
Yep.
But do we got anything else for predictions?
No, you know, I really didn't have much aside from those two or three points I made. Didn't think that the volume led too much to speculation, really.
No, not too much. Although, still some fun speculations.
But a good nugget at the end, for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, I love how easy this manga is to read. Like, every... like it's so... It just like
it's, true.
It's so easy to just consume it, you know.
Yeah.
And it's something that I appreciate it for. Like, And we've said this before, like, it's nothing like super deep or anything like that. And maybe that is because it is, maybe that's the reason for it being so easy to read and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But it's nice to have a series like this, I think, where you don't necessarily have to think a whole lot while reading it. It just kind of absorbs into you very easily.
Yeah, yeah, it's true.
So yeah, glad to finally have gotten to the 8th volume of Kaiju number 8, you know. It feels like it's a big thing, sort of.
You know, Kafka on the cover, mm-hmm. It's perfect.
Yeah, it is. It is. It is perfect. Well, I suppose that's it for this week, perhaps?
I think so.
Sweet. Then, if you enjoy our content, you can follow us on Twitter at UmamiManga, and it would be lovely if you'd like to support us by rating our show on the podcast platforms and subscribing to our channel Umami Manga on YouTube. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time when we'll talk about Volume 9. Bye-bye!
See you later!
If Volume 9 had Kaiju number 9 on it, that would have been really fitting. I happen to know that it doesn't, though.
Dang it.
But it would have been very fitting.